My name is Marc Grégoire. I'm a software architect from Belgium. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Working for Nikon, and this is Ankit.
Yeah, this is Ankit. I'm a program manager for Microsoft. I work on the Visual C++ team as well. And I guess we'll be talking about cross-platform C++ today. Hopefully you guys at the back can hear me fine. If you guys can, just raise a hand. Anyone in the back, perfect. So actually, let's get started.
Okay.
Marc.
So, mobile devices. Everyone these days has mobile devices. Everyone has at least a smartphone, maybe a tablet, maybe a smartwatch. A lot of people have multiple mobile devices. And what customers want to do is they want to run their favorite apps on all of their devices. So if they have one app, they want to be able to run it on their Windows smartphone, they want to run it on their iPad, on their Android devices. They just want to have one app. And mobile developers, they also want to target as many platforms as possible, because by doing that, you reach a much bigger market share. And of course, this can bring in more money for the developer. However, developers are reluctant to support multiple platforms if that means that it's a lot of extra work to do, or if it's too hard to port one application to a different platform. So we have to do something about that. This slide is a survey done by Mobile Vision for Microsoft. So it was a survey of 8,000 mobile app developers. And here you can clearly see that the biggest platform is Android, followed by an iOS, followed by Windows. But you also see that quite a few developers are targeting multiple platforms. So you see that in total, 37% are targeting Android and iOS. But you can also see that only 11% is targeting all three platforms. Because at this moment, it's too hard to support all of them. It's too much work.
So just curious here, like how many people have actually written a mobile app here? Just raise of hands. How many people have actually written an app for Android or iOS? Perfect. That's a great crowd. So do you guys agree with this slide here, or roughly agree with this slide here? Anyone?
The Windows bubble is a bit big.
Yeah. It's 8%. Yeah. How many people developed an app for all three of them?
Perfect.
Well, that's not so much. The survey also showed that, on average, game developers, they develop for 2.6 platforms. And non-game developers only for 2.2 platforms. So I think that's probably has to do with the fact that if you develop a non-game app, then you have to make sure that the UI is platform specific, while if you make a game, it can look exactly the same on all three platforms, so it's a little bit less work. So how do we want to support multiple platforms? There are two ways to do this. We have the silo approach, and we have the cross-platform approach. The silo approach is what I guess a lot of people are using today. That means that on Windows you use C# or C++ CX. For just a second, this is starting to make a lot of noise. So on Windows you use C# or C++ CX, and you use XAML for the UI. On iOS, you use Objective-C or Swift. On Android, you use Java. And what's the benefit of this? Well, on each of the different platforms, you have the full native experience. You're using the main language of each platform. And you have total access to the entire device as long as it has been exported by the SDK. And if the SDK, if a new version of the SDK releases a new feature for your platform, you can immediately use it because you're directly working on that SDK. There are quite a few downsides to this approach. First one is code reuse. It's very hard to reuse code because on Windows, you're writing your code in C# or C++. Apple, it's Objective-C, Android, it's Java, so it's very hard to share the code. It also costs more to develop all three platforms. If you implement a new feature for one of the platforms, you have to implement three times in three different languages. And then there is this thing that one platform can become a dominant platform. And that means if you develop a new application or a new game, you might release it for the three different platforms at once. Then after a while, you might notice that one of the platforms brings in more revenue. So you will start focusing on that one platform. If you add new features, you will first implement it in that for that platform. And then later, you might or might not port that feature to the other platforms. And so one platform will get all the new goodies, and the other platforms are going down and down in the feature set. So this is the silo approach. The other approach is to use a cross-platform tool or platform. And there are quite a few of them. I don't know if you can read that in the back. But you have things like Cordova, Xamarin, Unity, Qt. Those are all well-known tools that allow you to develop cross-platform applications and games. This is a survey also done by Vision Mobile. And the blue bars, they show the usage of that specific tool in 2012. The orange bars show the usage in 2015. So you see that there is a lot of interest in developing applications for multiple platforms at the same time. It's increasing.
Just curious again, like how many people have here used Cordova, Unity, or Xamarin for a mobile app? Okay, a fair bunch.
It seems like Unity is only designed for game developers. It looks like Xamarin has increased, but it hasn't increased that much. It seems like PhoneGap seems like it has done the biggest jump. Is there any reason why?
Other than Mindshare? I mean, Unity, you're absolutely right. It's just for games, right? But Cordova, from the survey that we did, basically, it seemed like Mindshare perspective is a major winner there. Okay. Now, I don't know the answer why, but I think like it could be that the survey is targeting more web developers per se or not.
It looks like Qt just Qt actually just was released, or was because it seems like there's nothing that was before 2012 or so.
We didn't have data for the survey, both for Qt and Marmalade. And Qt and Marmalade are both C++-based SDKs.
Okay, so basically it's possible that there wasn't anything for both.
Could be.
So what's the benefit of using a cross-platform tool like this? You have support for a wide range of platforms. But more importantly, once you know how to use that cross-platform tool, and the cross-platform tool start add support for a new platform, then you don't need to learn anything new. Your current applications that are written for that in that tool will immediately work on a new platform. But of course, again, a couple of downsides. There is no fast iteration. For example, if Android releases a new API level, then you have to wait until the cross-platform tool supports that API level before you can use it. There is no native look and feel. These cross-platform tools, they will provide some kind of UI, but it will probably not look native. And there is a runtime performed because you're running on top of this cross-platform tool, so that might incur some runtime penalty. So if you look closely at the three different platforms, there is actually a common denominator, but let's first have a trivia question. So if you look at the top 100 Android Play Store applications on the US Android Play Store, how many of these are using C++? So I have a couple of options. So who thinks none of these 100 top applications use C++? No one? How many think 15% use C++? A few of them. How many think 40%? 75%?
That's a good
majority.
Crowd.
Yeah, it's 75%. Here is a list of these top 100 Android Play Store applications. All of the pink ones, they use C++ in some way or another. So they might use a little bit of C++ or a lot of C++, but they do use C++. But these things, this list includes applications such as Facebook, Twitter, Candy Crush, Temple Run, and so on. So really, big apps or games. So it's C++ is the common denominator. You can use it on all three platforms. You can use it on Windows, you can use it on iOS, you can use it on Android. And by using C++, what are the benefits? You still have the full native experience like you do if you would develop in the platform-specific language like C#, C++, CX, and so on. And you still have total access to the device as long as the SDK allows it. But there are lots of extra benefits by switching to C++. The first one is code reuse. So you might have a lot of old code lying around that is written in C++. You can directly use it. If you write a new feature, you write it in C++, and you can use it on all three platforms. But there is also a lot of third-party C++ libraries out there. For example, the Unreal Engine or EA Frostbite Engine, they are both mainly written in C++, so you can immediately use these on the three platforms. Performance. C++, as everyone knows, runs natively on the hardware. There is no virtual machine in there like .NET or Java, so it runs faster. And this is also important for battery life. It's mobile devices, the important factor there is battery life. Everyone has to charge their smartphone probably every day. And we want to extend that. If you write your apps first in C++, it means they are more performant, so they get the job done quicker, they use less battery, and your device lasts longer. Last one is security. If you compile your application in C++, it's much harder to decompile it and try to get your IP out of it. Well, it's easier to do this in .NET or C#, .NET or Java. So next, let's take a look at how a C++ mobile application looks like. This could be the architecture. You have a big shared C++ backend. You try to make this as big as possible. And then on top of that, you have a thin UI layer. In the UI layer in Windows, that would be XAML and C# or XAML and C++ CX. On Android, you would use XML and Java for your UI layer. And on iPhone, you can use Cocoa Touch. And these thin UI layers, they are connected with the shared C++ backend through pnvoke for C#, GNI Java Native Interface wrappers on Java, and Object-C wrappers for iOS.
You also said that there's also C++ wrappers on the Windows side. Couldn't that also be used indirectly through the C++ CX or C#? And I think C++ CX is based on the old C++ CLI programming model that I think is kind of gone now, or?
Yeah, there are actually two different things, C++ CLI and C++ CX. C++ is CX is a new one. It's entirely based on COM. It's actually nothing to do with the old version. It's completely native, while C++ CLI is still running on .NET.
Right. So no, but it was actually based on the old C++ CLI, except that they got rid of garbage collection. Everything is reference count.
Yeah. That's correct. What's the question exactly?
was basically saying that I was basically asking, isn't the C# or C++ wrappers actually just kind of providing a little bit of a common interface into the .NET framework or the C# framework, so that way it can utilize the XAML interface on the top?
I mean, are you talking about the left column and RT stuff? Those are just specific Windows APIs that we're trying to access.
Okay.
We can take this offline. We have a lot of slides.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
No worries.
If there are any other questions, don't hesitate to interrupt. So this shared C++ backend, of course, it has to be compiled somehow and then consumed. On Windows, you would compile it to a dynamic library, DLL, or to a static library, a lib file. On Android, you would compile it to a .so or a .a file. And on iOS, you compile it to a .a file. And this architecture is used by quite a few applications. Some of them are listed here, so you have Microsoft Office. Most of the applications in the Office suite are at least sharing 90% of the code base. It's all written in standard C++. And if I'm not mistaken, PowerPoint, for example, uses more than 95 or 98% is shared C++ code. So with a very thin UI layer on top of it. Then you have Bing and Skype, Dropbox, Facebook Moments. They are all using a similar architecture.
Lowercase b in Dropbox, please.
Excuse me? Ah. Okay, yeah. Sorry. So, which tools do you use if you want to go this way? If you develop for Windows, you have to install the Visual C++ compiler, Visual Studio, IDE. You will use MS Build and Make for your build engine. You have to use Windows 8, 8.1, or Windows 10. For Android, you have to install GCC or Clang. You have to install the NDK build system. You use Makefiles, Gradle, and you can use, there are several IDEs available. One of them is Eclipse. You can develop on macOS, Linux, or Windows. For Apple, you have to develop on macOS. You have to use Xcode build system, and that one uses a Clang LLVM. So there is quite a problem with this. You have to install a lot of IDEs, a lot of build systems. So yeah, that's what this slide is about. You have multiple installations. You have to install a lot of stuff manually. You have to learn at least 3 IDEs or more. And if you have a build server, and I guess every company has a build server, if you want to target the 3 platforms, you will have to maintain and set up 3 different build servers with 3 different build engines and so on. Debugging experience is also not perfect, could be better, because you have to use the right tool chain to start debugging a problem. Handling crashes, crash dumps, and so on, it's all different for every single platform. So what do we want? We would like to have one installer. You just download it, you click next, 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 finished. Should be easy to install, should install everything what you want. Should be one single IDE, which you can use for all the platforms that you want to support. It has to be easy to write and share code and reuse that code. And we want emulation support so that we don't always have to have the physical hardware, so you can just emulate it on one machine. So that's what we want in a nice cross-platform mobile solution. So with that, I'll leave it to Ankit to speak more in detail about Visual C++ and to give some hands-on demos with Visual C++ 2015.
Thanks, Mark. So far, is there any questions that you guys have? Sorry. Any questions? Yes, sir.
Yes, I noticed this is mobile development, mm-hmm. but can't you also, is there any way you can extend these tool sets to develop like server platforms? For example, if you wanted to create a small server application that would run on Windows, run on Linux, run on Mac OS,
You could use the same tool set. The tool set that we added, I think on this slide that Mark was talking about, these tool sets right here, these are, for example, let's take the Apple Clang LLVM toolchain. You can also use the same toolchain to create a Mac application. But you're absolutely right about that. But we're going to talk about what Visual Studio does, and we currently don't support targeting Mac as of now. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Okay. So basically, you can't like write a application that would be Linux based or go on a Windows server machine.
Our out of the box templates don't allow that. If you meet me after this talk, we will show you how you can do some of this stuff. Is there any other questions? At the back, here, no. Perfect, okay. So we're going to talk about Visual C++ now. Thanks, Mark, for the introduction. So how many people actually have tried out Visual Studio 2015? Very good people. Colin, you don't count. But I like the enthusiasm. Okay. How many people are actually aware that Visual Studio 2015 allows you to do mobile development? Wow. You guys have all tried this out. What platforms have you guys tried this out for? Anyone wants to? Yes, sir.
Mainly Android, but also Win32.
So I see.
At least with Visual Studio.
How was your experience so far?
Better than Google's tools, but could still use some work.
Perfect. Okay, so we should always talk. Anyone who's actually already tried this product and has feedback for us, we would love to talk to you in more detail. I'm going to actually give someone else a chance if anyone else has a question at this point. Yes, sir, at the back.
Yeah, that's not a question, a comment. The Visual Studio is basically the only way to efficiently debug C++ code in Android.
I will shake your hand at this point. But thank you. Yes. Perfect. And this does not come from me, but I'm going to talk about it now. So, yes.
I just wanted to, basically, I haven't run it recently, but I had done some test development on the earlier versions of Visual Studios. I think release can RC
right.
A candidate, and on my computer, every time I kind of shut down the emulator, it would just crash my system.
Well, wait till RTM. Well, RTM's already out. You should try that out.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet, so I mean,
of course, we fixed all these problems in RTM. Yes, let's just go over this. So okay. Basically, 2015 RTM is out. It's been out there for a couple of months now. And essentially, these are the perks that we provide. We provide you an easy installation experience. You can download all your tools that you need for doing Windows development, Android development, iOS development through our installer now. We also install all the third-party stuff like the Android SDK, the NDK, and you name it, we have it in there. As a matter of fact, for some time, we were also installing Google Chrome, where some customers told us, have you guys signed a deal with Google? But then we took it out. But essentially, all the tools are there that you guys need for doing cross-platform stuff. The vision for Visual Studio is to become that one IDE that does cross-platform mobile development across for iOS, Android, and Windows. And that's basically what we've been following. Some of our extra features or the limelight features that we have is that we allow you to some clever project structures, which we're going to demo soon, that allow you to share code across multiple platforms, Android, iOS, Windows, and you'll see that. And then the last one there is basically debugging. Debugging has been a main power play for Visual Studio for years. We've been doing that for Windows developers for some time now. We're going to do the exact same thing for Android and iOS as well. So that's what's in there, along with a fast emulator that you guys can also try out for the Android platform again. So that's what we have in the product. Now, I'm going to go into demos, but before I actually even go there, I want to ask you this question. How many people actually have tried the iOS development experience through Visual Studio? No brave souls there. Oh, there is one brave soul in the back. I see. Perfect. So essentially, the first demo that I have here is a native activity application. Android with API level 9, I believe, allowed an app that can actually be completely C++. And I'm just going to show you some of the perks there. And I'm going to demo some of the features that you see here on the list, the Eclipse Converter, how to build this app. We have parallel compilation now, Clang GCC toolchain support, some code editing features, native debugger, Logcat viewer, and so on. So let's get into the first demo here. So I'm going to try to find my app here. Oops, you guys don't see that. No, I don't see that. Hang on. Let me just fix this, duplicate. It's always easier. Here we go. Perfect. So the first thing I want to show you guys, this is not important, what was there, is that we actually have a converter. So does anybody use Eclipse still for Android? There's a few hands there. So if you're actually working in Eclipse, initially Eclipse was more popular for C++ development for Android. So we actually have a pretty nice converter. All you got to do is you basically go and add your project that you're working on in Eclipse. So in this case, I can actually choose the AndroMyManifest.xml, and when I click Finish, that will essentially convert your Eclipse project into a Visual Studio project. So this is something really new that we shipped about a couple of months back. For people who are still in Eclipse, can try this out. How many people here are using Android Studio? The rest of the bunch, perfect. So we're still working on something for that. So the first app that I'll bring up here is basically an app that I just converted using the converter for Eclipse from Eclipse to VS. And what this app is really, it's just a C++ app. It's OpenGL 3, and it has some crude graphics. So while I do that, I want to show you some of the features that we have. I'll bring up the property pages here for that. You'll see that in the platform toolset, we allow Clang and GCC. And you can also, if you're actually looking at some of the other additional options here, you can also choose some of the other toolchains. There's a way to do that if it's in the NDK. You can specify which API level you're targeting. In this case, you're targeting API level 19, but you can target pretty much any API level. You can build dynamic shared libraries. You can build static libraries and so on. The other thing here that we've done the work for is the fact that we've actually updated all our property pages to reflect Clang and LLVM properties. So for example, if you're targeting x86, you can actually build this for Neon instructions or the SIMD instructions we're building for x86 and Neon for ARM. And you can just do that via just using these property pages and so on. Same way for the linker, we pretty much have all the property pages here for how to define your dependencies and all that kind of stuff. You can also choose the Google Gold linker, which is about 20% faster than the standard LD linker when you're building stuff. So you can choose that as part of the workflow as well, and so on. So let's talk about, yes, sir.
I don't want to derail too much, but is it easy and simple to rework those property pages to use to build native Windows applications?
Native Windows?
Yes, no. Using Clang and...
No.
No? Okay.
There's a talk earlier that happened, I believe, and a couple of hours ago. And they actually talked about how to build a Windows app using Clang C2,
yes.
Or at least the common code using Clang C2. You should take a look at that. And we can always chat offline. So what is this project really? It's very simple. All the C++ code is in this native activity project. So you can see all the C code here. And it's mixed with C++ code here. The packaging project here, what that does is that it takes the C++ code, which is being built as a dynamic shared library, or an SL file, which is like a DLL on the Windows platform. And then it gets packaged into an APK. So currently, this is the Java code that's there, and here's your assets for this particular application, shaders, and so on. And we actually use Ant right now to build this, and this will eventually build the APK that you guys need to debug and deploy. So that's currently our current workflow. We're working on adding Gradle support and some Java language server support and all that kind of stuff, so you should see that happening fairly soon. I think we're about a couple months out. So if you guys want to try this out beforehand, it goes to public, please be our guest. You can sign up with me after this talk. So let's keep going here. So let me show you some code here. I'm going to bring up this function called Android main. On a good day, this works. Today is not my good day, so I'll bring up native activity. Something is wrong. Here we go. Sure, why did not work? I was missing the underscore. Who actually here knows what Android main is? Does anyone in the crowd know what this function is? It's a very characteristic Android function. And don't cheat, the comment before says exactly what that does. Interesting. See?
Is that kind of like the main function that kind of says that this is actually giving the, or this is the actual initialization, just like how you have the main function in C++?
Yes, you're absolutely right. So it's almost like a int main function. So when you're writing a C++ native activity app for Android, this is a very characteristic function. This is the entry point function that comes up. Very popular talk. So the next thing I want to show you guys is some of the language services experience here. So this is the Android main function, and I'm going to go ahead and add some of the Android lock print message. As I'm actually bringing this up, you can see that we actually have added support for Android specific IntelliSense. And you can actually leverage this and so on when you're writing code. All the other language service features that you use today on the Windows platform work as well. So for example, let's pick up source is an interesting one. You can actually do things like peak definition. So you'll see where the definition is coming from. You can actually do go to definition, F12, which will also work for you, and all that kind of stuff. So you can pretty much take the Windows experience that you have today working on Visual Studio, and now actually make that work for Android as well. So the advanced features now, like refactoring also work. So let me demo that. Obviously, this is not a very good parameter type, so I'm actually going to go ahead and change this. So you can see here, I can actually do this by using the refactoring feature that we added recently. Clicking rename here allows me to change this parameter type. I'm going to make this a good engine, good demo, because that obviously makes it a lot better. Clicking preview allows me to actually see all the occurrences of this particular type, and I can actually go through the list here and choose which one I like and so on, and which one I want to replace and which one I don't want to replace. I'm just going to click apply, and magically you'll see that, you know, that already happened that for you. Now, you won't find that in many IDEs, let me tell you that. Now, next I want to show you the debugging experience. As the gentleman at the back mentioned, we have a fairly good debugging experience here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to decorate this with a few breakpoints here. And I'm actually going to hit F5. Hitting F5 or the play button there will actually build the application as well. So I'm going to remove this because I just want to mention something here for a second. So notice how the debugger dropdown is already populated with the VS Emulator entry. This is the fast Microsoft emulator. It's Hyper-V based. It's an Android emulator. It's not that bad. You guys should try it out. It's really good, actually.
Sorry. What if you had a touch screen that you wanted to kind of play around with it? Is there any way you can enable that touch screen to work on the emulator? Is that only for mouse-based systems?
No, it actually works for touch as well. Now, they don't give us that kind of fancy equipment to demo, but it does work for touch. You have to take my word for it.
Because I've tried that, and I have not been able to use touch screen on.
So if you hit that button there, multi-touch input, it will actually work for you. I'll demo that in a second.
Okay.
So if I can go back. So I'm just going to hit F5 here. F5 is going to build this and then try to deploy this. So you can see as it's building, we've done the work to actually integrate all the errors that come up in the output window to come as a part of the errors and warnings window. So if you click there, you can go all to the source line and all that kind of good stuff. So you'll see here that our deploy cycle is something that we really worked hard at. Our debugger currently uses the GDB server mechanism, which is the same as the Android debuggers that are out there. But we've worked really hard in making the debugger workflow really, really fast, because that's what you guys do a lot of the time. So you'll see here the breakpoint that I hit, the breakpoint that I set gets hit. You can pretty much do anything you can do on Windows today on this in this world as well. So you can actually look at autos. It's really fast. I know this is actually a fairly simple app. But you can see here the locals window, the watch window, all that kind of stuff will just magically work for you. Also, you can look at the call stack. You can look at breakpoints that you set, exception settings. We even give you a command line window, so you can actually, if you want to go here and do GDB exec, you can actually pass commands to GDB itself if you want to do that, and so on. So you can kind of like use the debugging experience really nice. The other thing I want to mention here is the Logcat window. So, I mean, anyone who's actually done any development on Android would know that Logcat is actually a time saver, and it actually logs system events. So you can actually see here, I actually had an Android log print message already. Actually, it's going to happen next, so that's good. So I'm going to hit continue here in the meantime. Now, where did my Logcat window go? Let's bring it back up. So if you get lost, it's right here. So you'll see here that so this is actually a log message that I just added, so that's coming up from my application right here. So that's actually coming from right here. So you can see here that we have a fully integrated experience that you guys can use with a Logcat window, a debugger, and so on. So, yes, sir?
Can you use it with an actual device?
Absolutely, you can. Now again, I would say this again. I like saying this again and again. We don't actually have the equipment to do Wolf Vision and show the app running. That's the only reason I'm not doing that here. But you can run this on ARM32 devices, x86 devices, x64 devices, ARM64 devices. Did I miss a platform? I didn't, right? Thanks. So you can pretty much run on any of these platforms. Yes, sir?
Being a little optimistic, could you actually debug if you need like Java or...
If you talk to me after this session, we can set you up on a preview program. We actually are working on that really, really hard. And soon you'll see something happen for that experience as well. So about a month and a half, 2 months away.
So none of this is available now?
No, all this is available. Just a Java experience is not available. Okay. Java Objective-C experience. Actually, you can actually debug Objective-C code. We don't have full debugging support yet for Objective-C. You can do some minimal debugging there. But for Java, it's coming soon. There's already a plugin there on VS Gallery that we shipped that allows you to do Java language services and Java debugger. But the Java debugger there is for standard Java applications, Java SC, not Java for Android. Any questions? Yes, sir.
So are you working on the ability to build iOS Objective-C apps?
Oh, yeah. You'll see that in the demo.
Yeah.
Any other questions there? Yes, sir.
Doesn't Apple try to enforce that you only use Apple machines for iOS development?
Right. You're absolutely right. By law or by Apple legality, we have to build the app on the Mac platform. And you see a Mac there. So what we do is that we have a remote agent that runs on the Mac. And It makes you look like you never have to leave Visual Studio. It does all the work for you on the Mac. And we'll demo that. So we'll come back to that. Yes, sir?
I've used like some of the Android stuff a bit, and I've had trouble like getting questions, like technical questions about it answered. Stack Overflow doesn't seem to have a lot on it yet. The MSDN forums, they have a Visual C section, and they're very Windows specific to the point that if I ask an Android question, I either get nothing back or I get someone saying this is usually like a Windows forum. And maybe I missed something. Maybe I missed like a particular subsection of like.
I am extremely sad to hear that. We will, if you look at the slide deck at the end, there is a section where you can actually reach out to us.
Okay.
We are dying to work hand-in-hand with every single one of you guys there. And I think we have Colin here as well, who's from our documentation team and forums team. So let's talk after this to make sure that we have a channel there for you guys. We've been crawling Stack Overflow to answer questions. Maybe your caller is not looking for the right stuff. So let's definitely talk. Is there any other questions here before I go on? So,
excuse me. I was wondering about the Android log print. Does that actually print into the Android machine, or is that just only?
It's just diagnostic.
Okay, so it doesn't print. So it's technically just like an invisible call.
Pretty much, as far as I know. So you can see here the app running, and people I think can correct me if I'm wrong. So that's actually the app running. You can see it's running OpenGL 3, so our emulator supports OpenGL 3. The emulator also supports multi-touch. So what you can do is if you have a touch screen, I don't have a touch screen here, but if you have a touch screen, you can actually use your fingers to do zoom in and zoom out and all that kind of cool stuff. Also, we do other kinds of crazy stuff, so you can actually rotate the app. You can do all that kind of stuff. We're also...
Can you do partial rotation?
Partial rotation. I don't know how to do that.
I'm saying I'm just saying instead of doing it 90 and 180, you just push it at like 35 degrees or something like
we
that.
We don't have that right now. The other thing we can do though is we have all these sensors here. So we have an accelerometer, a location sensor, a network sensor, a battery sensor. So you guys can pretty much use that, when you want to simulate some of the conditions which are hard to do in a real device, you can leverage the emulator for that. We're also working on supporting some of the other sensors that are there and so on. So if you guys have any ideas or feedback, please by all means let us know. At the back of the room, sir.
You said GLS3, is that new? I remember letting
this go on. Yeah, we've been working on adding more and more API supports. The way that our installer works is that if you actually install the product today, we update the live bits. So these are all now compartmentalized into Visual Studio plugins. These are all plugins, by the way, the Android story, the iOS story, the emulator. So if you go install the product today, you'll pretty much get the latest version with all the new features. So it automatically takes care of that. So if you try that out, you'll see more features there, bug fixes there, and so on. So that's pretty much the first demo that I wanted to show you guys. So I'm hoping you guys can try this at home or... Oh, no, it doesn't work, does it? So pretty much I assure you all that kind of stuff. So is there any questions there? Please, by all means, after the meeting, we can get into that. After the session, we can get into that. The second app I want to show you guys here is an OpenCV app. Now OpenCV is a pretty popular image graphics library, and we want to show you something real happening there in that world. And again, this is going to be another Android application, but it also has a Windows component. So let's take a look at that. So how many people here are familiar with Universal Style Apps, or anybody here actually just built that? One person, two people there, okay. So let's talk about this for a second. So I mentioned that one of our USPs that we're saying in Visual Studio is that we want the one IDE for targeting all platforms. If you take a look at the solution and you take a look at the image filters library folder here, it has two projects here. It's got an Android targeting story, Android project, and it's got a UAP project here. And then we have a shared component. So what's really happening here is that all this code that you're seeing here is shared code between the Android world and the UAP world. Now, if you take a look at the Android property pages in this case, we're building a static library, which is consuming the shared component right here and the Android-specific source files. And likewise, if you look at the UAP source code here, it has UAP-specific source here, and then it has all the shared component source here as well. So what we're trying to demo here is that you can use this kind of a project structure pretty easily to be able to share your cross-platform code and use that, use one IDE for being able to do that. Now, if I want to build for any of these platforms, it's really easy. I can just right-click and say, you know, build for this, which means that, it's already built. Rebuild. Rebuild for this, and you'll see that that's building, you know, all the shared sources here along with the platform-specific code, and it builds me a Windows static library. And if I go right here and I, you know, say rebuild here, you'll see that actually goes ahead and builds me a nice Android library. So that's one of the ways that, you know, we're basically saying you can share your cross-platform code easily. Now, these static libraries then eventually get used in these folders here. The image native activity project here takes that static library and creates a SO file, which then eventually gets consumed in an APK right here. And likewise for Windows, the .a library gets consumed in this media capture app, which is basically a Windows UAP app and so on. So that's kind of like, you know, so what you can see here, the beauty of this solution is that you can actually build two apps from one solution, target both Android and Windows. Is there any questions here on how code is being shared and that kind of stuff?
That Windows is all the Windows, right? Windows, all Windows 10?
Yeah, all Windows 10, all the platforms that are there.
Or desktop or anything.
You could also add Windows 8.1 and Windows 8 and all that kind of story there. So, yes, sir. Actually, I'll give him a chance first. He hasn't asked a question yet.
Maybe I'm asking a stupid question here. Why is this interesting from the perspective of mobile development?
Oh, because we're hoping that you don't have to use two IDEs. And if you take a look at our scenario, what we're really going after is that if you have a lot of C++ code that's being shared, you don't want to maintain like multiple solution files and multiple you know different solutions and all that. You want to be able to just do that from one solution, set the Windows project as a startup project, be able to run the application. Same story for Android, same story for iOS. Now, if that doesn't actually appeal to you, we would love to talk to you to understand why is that the case.
Just to be clear, though, your intent is to develop a full language service for Java debugging, same Objective-C. Like, I won't need Visual Studio to do any of this. Right?
Yeah. So right now, I mean, you know, we pretty much are there for Android, and we'll be launching all that in a couple of months. For iOS, we're working on that as well. We do have some of the support for language servers and debugging for Objective-C as well. Mm-hmm. But we don't have the full support for the interface builder or storyboarding yet. So we have a story for that where we allow you to kind of like, we also, when we build for iOS, and you'll see that, we create a PBX project file or an Xcode project that you can go and Xcode and open up there, do all your UI work, and then come back to Visual Studio and keep doing that as much as you want, and it will work for you. So that's a current story, but we're definitely hoping to move in terms of that model as the use cases and the usage of our product increases. Yeah. You're talking, for the Java stuff, you're talking maybe a couple of months. And as I said, if you share your email or your contact information with me, I will make sure you're one of the early adopters for that. So I'm going to keep going because we have a few demos here. So next thing I'm going to show you guys is that I want to show you some of the language service experience. Someone actually asked me a question on why is this useful. So the other thing that's useful here is let's pick up this guy. This guy looks very interesting. And I'm going to add a bunch of code here. It might not make any sense right now, but it will soon. Okay, so now if you see, I just added some source here. You will see two colors here for squiggles. Does anybody see two colors, first of all? There's only one person who sees two colors. There should be more. Perfect, okay, all right. Now that you guys see different colors, does anybody know what these different colors mean here? So what I've just done is that I've taken a shared source file, which is being shared between the Android and the Windows platform, and I've added some bunch of code here. Now the piece of code here is Windows specific, and some piece of code here is Android specific. So what the colors are really indicating is, anyone?
One is that it's not cross-platform, because this is designed for being cross-platform. I'm guessing the purple might be that it's Android specific, whereas a red might be only Windows specific.
Perfect. Or? Yes, that's right. I mean, the colors are mixed, but other than that, you're right. If you take a look here, the squiggle here in this case on the Android Lockbird message is the Windows IntelliSense or the UAP stuff actually mentioning that. I do not know what this Android Lockbird API is because this is an Android specific API. So the Windows IntelliSense actually is telling you at design time that if you build this code for Android, it will build, but if you build this for Windows, it will not build. Same way, the underscore underscore M128X and Y here is basically the language extensions that Microsoft added for intrinsics, and these are Windows specific only. And likewise here, you know, these are not going to build for the Android platform, so the Android intelligence is lighting that up and saying that, you know what, this is not something that's going to build for Android. So what you can really do by this, the other advantage of the experience of working in the shared source is that at design time, we tell you that this piece of code is going to build for all your platforms, or build for one of those platforms, or not build for none of these platforms. So you can actually kind of like save some time here by being able to use this kind of a solution.
Can you actually do it so that instead of, let's say that you wanted to have the same XY intrinsics, but have it defined for Android?
Yeah, you could just ifdef that, you know, you just ifdef that and then...
But does it allow you to do auto ifdef so that you're using the intrinsics for each of those?
We don't do that right now. We don't do auto right now, but you can just do what I just did. So okay. If you look at UAP now, it's going to activate. It didn't. So I think it's like this, I hope. So now if you'll see for UAP, it will activate. For Android, it will actually deactivate.
Okay.
Wait, there's another question here somewhere. I missed in hand. It's okay. I'm going to keep going. So that's the second demo that I had. I was going to show you the app running and all, but we don't have time for that. So I'm going to go to the third demo, which is going to demo another app here, which is both Android, Windows, and iOS. So people here have tried out our story for Android and Windows. But so this is a template that I just installed. You can find this on the web. It's basically a blog that we published on VC Blog. What this does is that it allows you to build an app both for Android, iOS, and Windows. And it's basically OpenGL code across the board for these three platforms. And you can share it, you can build it from one solution, and all that kind of good stuff. So I'm just going to create one here. Actually, even better, I'm just going to reuse the existing one. Oh, actually, I created one. Perfect. No, I don't want to use TFS and any of that stuff here. So let me actually just mention what this app is doing now. So far, I've shown you an Android app, an Android and Windows app. Now I'm actually going to show you an Android, Windows, and an iOS application. So, and again, it's the same solution here. So like I mentioned the last app, there's a library there which is getting built. Likewise, in this case, you have this simple render.cpp, which has all the OpenGL code that you have. You know, and this is being shared by particular references. This is the Android stuff references the shared code, the iOS stuff references the shared code, and the Windows stuff also references the same piece of shared code.
How come it's giving the purple squiggly lines?
I'll get into that in a second. I'm very happy you brought this up, though. So before I go there, I just want to mention, like, someone actually asked a question on, like, you know, for the iOS app to be published on the store, you need to be able to build it on the Mac. So what really is happening here is that we actually have a remote agent that runs on the Mac, and it basically listens for requests. We use it for building, we use it for debugging, we also use it for querying information like what kind of provisioning profiles you have configured in Xcode, what kind of debug targets are available, you know, in terms of devices connected to the Mac and all that kind of stuff. So that particular piece of software is running on my Mac here. I don't have enough leg room here to show you guys that.
So if you were running Parallels, you could do it.
Oh, yeah.
On top, if you're running Parallels, it would be the same.
Yeah, with Parallels, it's really easy. You just basically set it up, and you can just kind of like use the same machine for doing that. I'm sorry? I think you could have... I don't know the answer to the question, actually. I'm sorry. but I think we should be able to have multiple debugging sessions, but I'm not sure about that. So the way you guys do it is you basically come to the tool options window, and you basically, all you need to do is set up your IP for where the Mac is. So you use this menu, and you can just kind of like set the host name. This is basically the host name for the Mac, and this is the port number. And I've already paired there before, and I'm going to pair this again just to make sure my Mac is beating and alive. And that's pretty much it. And then we'll take care of basically being able to take this piece of source code, build it on the Mac, using the Clangle Vim tutorial on the Mac, and as a get out of jail card, we also build an Xcode project for you guys. So you can actually, you know, when you're about to deploy this app to the iOS App Store, and you want to, let's say, use an iOS Xcode instrument, or you want to do something in Xcode for that, you can actually bring up the Xcode project and work there. And then we're working on experience right now to take that project from Xcode and back into VS and keep doing that as much as you guys want. So that's our current experience right now. Since I've already shown you some of the iOS IntelliSense, so iOS, Android, and Windows experience, I want to show you the iOS experience. But before that, I want to answer this question right now. So right now, the errors that you're seeing here are all iOS specific. And the reason for that is because I haven't set up the right IntelliSense path on purpose. So once I actually set up the right IntelliSense path for this, automatically these kind of like errors will go away. So right now this app will build, but the IntelliSense experience is not lighting up because I haven't set the right headers, which are basically on the Mac side. Are there any questions here on what I just said about how the iOS experience works or something like that? No?
Okay, so basically you're saying that the squiggles are because of the iOS yeah. stuff, which are iOS specific head.
Right, and these are all iOS specific headers, and all we really need to do is set up the right headers for that, and these will go away. And I actually wanted to point that out on purpose here because we want to show off the iOS experience here right now. So next, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to get into my library project here. Actually, no, what I want to do is, what do I want to do? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up my iOS application here as my startup project. You could also do that from the debugger dropdown. And I'm actually going to hit rebuild. So rebuilding this will actually cause the, oops, there we go. So that's actually, you can see the build happening here. And the build is actually happening right here on my Mac right here. And what I can do here, so that's the remote agent running and the build's happening here. And something really bad happened. Let's try this again. Sometimes it works better with the, just give me 1 second. I'm just gonna restart my agent here. Okay, just give me 1 second, sorry. Is there any questions here so far?
Can you, instead of having like a Mac laptop, could you actually have like a Mac build server, like, you know, a small set of a Mac machine, so that way it can run in the background and do the development on Windows 10, have that be a, like a just only a build server, no GUI, no user interface.
You could do that. If you can set that up, you can absolutely do that. Okay, so let's try this again. If this works. Yeah, I'm going to... Just give me a second. I need to kill my Mac. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not killing my Mac. I'm just killing my... So let's do this. There's about 5 minutes left. Is there any questions? I'll come back to this in a second. I'm going to just restart this.
Can you do it? Can you show it on Windows Universal application for right now, or...?
Yeah, you can show it in the Android application right here. It's really easy. I can actually just show you in the Mac in a second. The network connectivity here is bad, so I was pairing it on my phone, and my phone, I believe, has died. But we'll talk about that later. So, yes, sir, at the back of the room.
So my question was, in the beginning of the presentation, you mentioned all of these other cross-platform
right.
approaches, and you said one of the weaknesses is that they don't keep pace with
right.
native platforms. And how does this keep pace with the native platforms?
Oh, because we actually don't, we're not in the business of making an SDK or any of that kind of stuff. So what we really do is that we basically rely on Apple and Android. And as soon as they update, like provide a new API level or they provide a different tool chain, we just kind of like leverage that. We don't actually, you know, in case of Xamarin, they have their own SDK. In case of Marmalade, they have their own SDK. And, you know, as new APIs become available, they actually have to go and make sure that that API is available via the Marmalade SDK or the Xamarin SDK. We don't do any of that. We basically just rely on the basic SDKs that Android and Google provide, Android and iOS provide.
So is it correct then to say that the day that the API changes for, say, Android, I can, on that same day, use that, whatever the new API levels are in this?
Yeah, in most cases, yeah. With the
intervention.
Yeah, in most cases, it just happened. And the other thing that I should mention here is that we have the notification manager here. So if you take a look at the right here, this is a new thing in Visual Studio. Who's actually seen this menu? Perfect. So what you can do is that if there is, let's say, a bug or something that comes up, that let's say there's a breaking change that Android actually released, let's say they changed location for a tool like AAPT or something, and now the AND build is not working, we can actually pretty much shoot a live update. And then, you know, customers can just kind of like install it the same day as soon as it's available, and then they're very well on the way from that perspective. Does that make sense?
You're saying if there's a bug, then you can install the update as soon as the update is
available? Yeah, pretty much, yeah. If there's a, sometimes they actually do, you know, go ahead and actually introduce breaking changes. Mm-hmm. So in those cases, you can actually just use that mechanism, and we will take care of that. We're pretty vigilant on being able to update this pretty live and so on. So for some of our bigger customers, I can't mention them because of privacy reasons, but we've actually done, you know, feature updates and all that kind of stuff as well, just so that they can actually build stuff. Is there any questions there while I still, yes, sir, at the back of the room? Any one of you guys first?
Am I correct that user should write iOS or JNI bindings by himself? So there is no automatic bindings generation.
I'm so sorry, I didn't actually get your question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there anyone from Dropbox here in this talk? I believe you can answer that question better.
I'm giving a talk tomorrow. Open source tour tool that'll do that for you.
So there's actually, I think it's called Genie, or I believe it's called Genie, and there's basically these guys who are kind of like leading the work there on that front, and I believe our Facebook friends are also making up something in the background. So there's definitely techniques that are there. Now, if you're just talking about, you know, creating JNI headers and such, we don't actually have like support for Swig or, you know, Java Edge or any of that. But what we've seen is that it's fairly easy for people to do that, and no one's really complained about that yet. But if that's really a big use case for you, we should definitely talk.
There definitely are people using Genie along with GTO successfully. It gets a little bit tricky because Genie itself, some of our scripts around it don't run Windows. So at some point, we'll get these both to work together better, but what I know Don at Slack has done is does his code generation on a Mac and then checks in the generated code.
Could it be possible that it just doesn't have the definitions for the iOS files? Or
no, I think it's just the network is not being, the network gods are not being very friendly today, sadly. So we just tried this out before we came here. But yeah, is there any other questions here? Yes, sir.
CocoaPods for iOS.
Yes, people have asked for that, and we haven't worked on that yet. But if that is really a use case for you, CocoaPods is cool.
It would be nice if it wasn't prevented.
I see.
Especially if it's open source code.
Right. We'll take that feedback. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Have you guys thought about possibly including JavaScript as a target here for web development?
We do have support for Apache Cordova in Visual Studio. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Okay, so we do have support for Apache Cordova. If you're able to send me your email or share that with me, I'll be happy to provide you the documentation and the right guides for it.
What about including like in script and toolchain to generate as a possibly in the future WebAssembly?
I'm very illiterate in Apache Cordova, but I will find the right guides for that. I don't have the answer to that question. I'm so sorry. Are there any questions there other than that? I'll actually.
Some people in DC are looking at Inscriptum. It's really early. Right now we've got partners, external companies that are interested in getting advice from us, and we're going to let them lead the way a bit because it's going three or four different directions. We want to see some stability before we impose.
Just very, very quickly, if you're a Xamarin user, we also have an experience for Xamarin C++. You can actually go to C++ library, Android library, and leverage that in Xamarin app, and you can all do that in Visual Studio. If you just follow the slide deck, it actually has links for that. And then just the last slide here is what's coming. So you'll see here, we're working on Java language support. We actually have created CMake converters automatically for our Android Visual Studio and iOS Visual Studio story. Eon, are you here somewhere in the crowd? I can't see you. But yeah, so he's at the back, so you can talk to Eon there. He's actually been working on this pretty heavily. And we also are working on, you know, creating project importers for Android Studio and Xcode, and we're pretty much there for that. We already have platform targeting for ARM64, X64, and all that kind of stuff. And the last thing here is the resources. If you guys are looking for more information about what we mentioned here, this used to work. Resources. All right, here we go. Thank you. So this is the vs.com page. So there's basically a forum here where you can follow to ask us questions. And we're very, very happy someone actually asked us a question. So we try our best to answer that. So is VC Blog. That's my email, and that's Mark's email, I believe. And we'll be very happy to answer questions for you guys. I'm very, very sorry the IOS demo did not work, but it does work. You guys try it out. And take my word for it. I have very unbiased opinion on that, obviously. So please try that out. And I'm very happy you guys came here to this talk. And I'll be around here to answer questions. And so will, I believe, Mark. So thank you very much again for attending this.